Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Today, adult children. Putting those two words together, how do you make those work? You're thinking about an adult. You're also thinking about a child. You love them. Sometimes you have relationship with them, and now it's a new relationship as an adult. Should there be limits? Should you lean in? Should you back off? How do you handle that? That's sort of the question on the table today. Phone lines are open for your comments at 888-888-1717. And like any relationship, you have to have some loving limits in place, because a lack of limits leads to a lack of respect. And that can happen in adult relationships between a parent and a child. Lack of respect leads to a lack of relationship, and a lack of relationship can lead to regret. And so how do we have that relationship with an adult son or daughter? Maybe they're in the home or out of the home, but we want to do it in a way that honors Christ and can give us a lifelong positive outcome in the relationship. All right, let's start. Jonathan is in Arizona. Jonathan, welcome to the program today, my friend. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
My question is, thank you for, first of all, thank you for accepting my phone call.
You're welcome.
My question is, how do I restore my relationship with my daughter after 13 years, but as a Christian man?
Mm-hmm. So you're in a new place from where you were 13 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And does she want, is she interested in a relationship with you at all?
She told me she was very interested in a relationship with me, but you know, she got with the other family. It was kind of like a bad split up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's telling you she's interested. How old is she now?
She's going to be 18 in July.
Okay, so she's going to become an adult at the point of making her own decisions of what she wants to do in a relationship with you.
Yes.
And so the other family is kind of discouraged her having a relationship with you?
Well, yes, they were like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jonathan, as she turns 18 and she's starting to make her adult decisions in life, I think I would, if I were you, and I don't know the whole story of what you're facing, because every situation is different. But if she's saying, hey, I'm interested in having a relationship, and you're interested in having a healthy relationship with her, and it's something that can be healthy, because frankly, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's not in the best interest for a while. There has to be further healing and so on before that occurs, or if it ever occurs. But if it is something that's going to be healthy for both of you, to be able to take just those baby steps leading to that, let her take the lead. To what extent is she interested? Does she want to have coffee with you? Does she want to text with you or whatever? And I would take those baby steps in the process. And I would do this as well. I would share with her what God has done in your life. You know, let her know that you've come to Christ, what that means to you, and what difference that's made in your life. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't set expectations that can't be met. Be realistic in that relationship with her. But you're saying it's something that she's interested in pursuing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she is very interested. She told me that she missed me. She told me that she used to see her cousins with their father all the time, and she would get kind of envious about it, and then but all she heard was bad things about me, but that was from their mouth. But then when I met her, I told her that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian now, a real Christian now, a true believer. I said, you know, and God has really changed my life. And all they knew is that when I left, I had nothing. I had nothing.
Yeah.
So I gave it all to the Lord, and the Lord just turn everything back around.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a big home. You know, I got all these things, but I want to, and you know, the main thing that I have a good woman now. And then, but the main thing that's missing is her in my life now.
Mm. Well, listen, Jonathan, if I had your daughter on the phone and she were asking the same question, here's what I'd be saying to her. I'd be saying, I don't know the history between you and your dad. I don't know what's occurred. But if your dad is saying to you, I'm a Christian now, I'm a new person, and I would like to have a relationship, I would say to her, let him prove it. Let him let's see what's really happening in his life. In other words, you're kind of hold yourself accountable here, Jonathan. You're sharing, I'm a Christian, my life has changed. So you're saying to your daughter, I'm a new creation. Here's who I am today. And as you give that evidence of that change in your life and she sees that, allow that to be seen by her. Maybe, you know, the fact that you guys have been estranged for so long, maybe something the two of you could even sit down and talk with a pastor, you know, talk with a counselor together to kind of process where you've been, how you got to where you are today. Every situation is different. That's why I think the principle is when we can restore relationships, we ought to, but not in every case is it possible or advisable. So it depends on the nature of the relationship. Okay, Jonathan, I don't know if that helps a lot, but I appreciate the fact that you called today here at Intentional Living and have a heart and desire to restore a relationship that's been broken. Stephanie called us and left on a comment line a question about a 21-year-old daughter, in her case, living at home, making some difficult decisions, wants to know, should she lean in or lean out? What would you do? Take a listen.
Yeah, my name's Stephanie. I have a 20-year-old daughter who's just turned 21, actually. And she's in a situation where she lost her fiancé, committed suicide, and she had a miscarriage all at the same time. She's choosing to deal with this in a very unhealthy manner. She's talking to other boys. She's going out. She refuses to work or help out around the house. And I understand she's going through something very traumatic. And she's 21, so I'm trying to give her the space to be an adult and make her own decisions. I just don't know how. I'm at a loss what to do with her. I don't know how to go about communicating to her that she needs to do something without it being offensive to her or her getting mad at me. Or I'm at a loss for words.
Mm. So what would you do? Would you advise, would you suggest being intentional, lean in or back off? Comments are welcome. 888-888-1717. Patty wants to talk to her. Going to talk to you in a moment, Stephanie. We'll be back with that in about a minute.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Only grown-ups should get married. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I say that with a smile because we assume when we get married, we're growing up. But the reality is many of us take our immaturities into our marriage. Or you know, we're not at moms and dads anymore. You're committed to that grown-up relationship of being married. So you and I need to act like it. Be responsible with our money. Be responsible with our time and our work, and with the relationship that we've entered into. This includes the critical need to be selfless with your spouse. You know, it's a matter of personal maturity. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13:11 that we're to be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, and then the God of love and peace will be with you. It's a daily decision to be growing up in our marriage, but we can do it, and when we do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
And you can share the Intentional Living Minute with a friend or someone you know that could be encouraged by it. Just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. And when you like our page, by the way, when you're there, a brand new Intentional Living video every day, 1 minute, will come to your newsfeed every day, Monday through Friday. So go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. Here in this brand new month, I have something very special I want to make available. I'm excited about this. We've been planning on it for this month of May. It's a Parents Night Out DVD, one of our conferences where I teach the principles of intentional living for parents, a Parents Night Out recorded to a sold-out audience, and we put it on DVD, and it's our gift to you today as you share your very best gift with the ministry today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button, and we thank you in advance for doing that. Okay, Patty wants to weigh in and respond to Stephanie. on should she lean in or back off when it comes to adult son or daughter. Patty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. Thank you for waiting. What's your take on this?
Well, I wanted to just share a story with Stephanie. When my son was about 18 or 19, he was in a very volatile relationship with the young woman, and he was a believer. And if you said anything about it, he pressed closer and closer to her.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, God just said, go to lunch. So we met for lunch. We sat across from each other. We never mentioned anything about the relationship, but God just had me say this. Son, what is God showing you today? That's all I said. And then I was quiet. He could have shared anything, but he shared what was on his heart on that relationship. And as he did, it became clear to him what direction God was leading him. And he had to break the relationship to go on. And it was best for both of them.
Mm.
And just to sit there and be open and let your adult child who's turning into an adult, let them say what's on their heart. And it's amazing what God is doing in them. And I just wanted to share that with her. Just keep it open, but do it in maybe a casual, out in a restaurant where it's non-threatening, and just listen. And I never gave advice or anything. I just listened. And God did it. So just want to share that.
You know, that's been a theme, Patty. By the way, thank you very much. That's a theme that we hear, and it works. It's an intentional living principle. When you have open ears and open heart and you listen and you're not quick to judge or quick to take a position. As a parent, it's easy to jump in and say, well, this is what you ought to do, or this will work for you because it worked for me. And you know what? It may be what they need to do, and it may have worked for you, and it may work for them. But at the moment you do that, like Patty said, all of a sudden the son is driven further and further away instead of being drawn in. But with the simple question of, well, where do you think this is going to lead? Or what do you think God's, you know, what's God telling you? Or what are you going to do? All of a sudden it gets back on their responsibility to think it through and make a decision and own it, which is a very important thing. Okay, Patty, thank you. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Glad you're listening in New Mexico today. You know, so often we get comments on our comment line from parents, not only about adult sons and daughters, but the little ones, the younger ones. And learning how to address issues with your kids when they're younger and how to address their needs and struggles will help you later in life when they face some of those adult issues. For instance, Carla from Michigan, maybe you caught it when she called some time ago and talked about a concern about her daughter, you know, with a clique at school. And how do you respond to that? See, when you do this when they're young, it'll help you understand how to address issues when they become older in life as well. If you missed it, though, I want you to hear what Carla's question was or comment, because you responded to it and want to get those on as well.
My 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's four girls that would be friends, and what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all, and my husband and I don't know what to do. There's four girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things, and you know, like they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so you know, during recess she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends, and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that for the first 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends. They were, you know, close. And then there's another girl that's come on the scene, and she's more the best friend now, and my daughter's had to work through that. And I've seen her show an ugly side of how, well, if she's going to take her away from me and not share the friend, I'm going to do that. So we've kind of worked through that, and she's accepted the fact that she won't be the best friend anymore, but we don't know what to tell her to do with this.
You know, thank you, Carla, because not knowing what to do with a teenager can also become the same kind of issues on adult version later in life. So learning how to handle relationship with your son or daughter is critical. Some of you, many of you weighed in on that, had comments. I want to share a couple of them with you for Carla. First, here is Mary from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello, this is Mary. I was calling about the lady that had the 13-year-old with some friend issues, and it's hard to say anything to the friend but pray. That was huge for my daughter. She started at a new school, and she just didn't really have any friends. And so we prayed for friends. And so God says, pray for our enemies. I mean, not that the best friend is an enemy, but pray through that situation. I know it's hard. Also, another thing I did was looked at my daughter in a different view, tried to kind of make her hair look prettier, just trying to maybe give her a new shirt, or I started doing my daughter's hair, and then it started, you know, braiding it and stuff like that, and people started noticing, and then all of a sudden she started having friends because I believe the prayers and things like that just helped the situation, and I hope everything turns out well for you.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Sarah also weighed in over in Michigan.
I think that as a teenager, we always try to look for friendships, you know, because that's what we value. We want somebody to be there for us when we need them and somebody to talk to. But I feel like the most important thing is just valuing yourself and knowing that you don't really need anybody else to be okay. I remember when I was in high school and when I was around that age, I think I spent most of my time trying to find people that I can look up to and people that I can call friends, people that will always be there for me and people I can hang out with. And as I got older, I realized that, you know, friendships are not forever. And if you just sit there and just try to look for the perfect friendship, you're not going to find that perfect friendship. And even if you do, friendships don't always last. And unless you guys have a really strong bond, something will always come in between you guys and force the friendship to stop or something.
Mm. All right. Appreciate your comments. By the way, our comment line is always open to you. You hear something, we want to hear what your experience has been, how you would share an intentional thought with someone. 888-888-1717. Speaking of the phones, Kara from Michigan. Welcome to the program. What's your question today, Kara?
Hello. So I have three kids. One-year-old, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old, so very close in age.
Boy, girls?
My oldest is a girl, and then I have two sons.
Okay.
So I guess one of the things that I wanted to know is maybe I'm underestimating my daughter's understanding, but she, if like something gets taken of hers, her immediate reaction is to hit them, and she tells me, like, well, mommy, he took it, and so she's like telling me I'm disciplining them, and I'm trying to help her understand, no, we don't hit, and I wanted to know, like, what is the best way to work with her, and then, of course, my son, like, follows suit, so he's hitting her, and, like, what is the best way to get to just such a little mind to help them comprehend that?
Well, it's a fair question. And at that age, kids pick up that maybe this is the way discipline occurs. And saying to your son or daughter, we don't hit each other, period. And being very firm. This is where the eye contact with your little one, just they need to sense the disapproval on them hitting each other. When we have a disagreement, we can use words, but we're not going to hit each other. So that could be a little time out for each of them. They're young. They're learning. They're just babies still, understanding what's age appropriate, and understand yourself as a parent, how you parent, that they're going to pick up parenting by watching you and others. And so if you want to have children behave in a certain way, make sure as parents you're behaving in the same way, because kids are much quicker to pick up than they are to listen. And so by being intentional when you do that, that's powerful. All right. Thank you, Kara. We'll be back. We've got more Intentional Living in a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
How do we rest an anxious mind? There's a verse that we probably have all seen and read in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul says, be anxious for nothing. I would have preferred if he'd have said, be anxious for less things. Right? Because that's a reality. But he says, be anxious for nothing. That means when something happens that you didn't expect in your health, we're not to be anxious about it. When there's been a reversal in a relationship, we're not to be anxious about it, Paul says. To be anxious for nothing means nothing. That's a troubling verse. Because the reality is today, when you look at the research, especially in the United States and in the developed world, we see nearly 40% of Americans reporting more anxiety today than they did a year ago. In fact, I heard one person refer to us as the United States of Anxiety.
That's an excerpt from this month's teaching for this month of May for members on how to rest an anxious mind. Boy, and I think that many of us, probably most of us, will relate to this. And so members, watch for it. It'll be coming to you. For those of you who've requested it, it'll be coming to you as it does each month, a brand new teaching. For those who will join us this month in support of the ministry as a new monthly member, we'll start off by sending you How to Rest an Anxious Mind. It's sort of our monthly newsletter and teaching on CD to you to say thank you for your support. And then each and every month thereafter, you'll be receiving brand new teaching. This is a powerful one. It's practical. We'd give you the biblical perspective and direction on how to be intentional to rest an anxious mind. A lot of anxiety today. The statistics are scary, with 60% of college-age kids talking about anxiety levels that are creating almost the need for therapy. So we live in an anxious time. So if you'd like to join us today, I hope you will, I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And also, by the way, this month, when you join as a new member with your monthly support, if you're brand new, we're going to send you an extra thank you. It's our Parents Night Out DVD. So a couple of things to get you started to encourage you on your journey of living intentionally. Hey, we respond to your comments. We allow people to share comments to other callers and put them on the air. Lisa, I talked to some time ago, was really concerned about how to handle a situation with a video game with her son, and you responded to it. But first, take a listen to Lisa.
I have a 12-year-old son who has always been very loving and respectful for the most part. You know, kids are kids as they are, and I just feel that now that he is really immersed this past probably 8 to 10 months into Fortnite, he is so much more disrespectful and lashes out more. He plays it off that he's laughing about it and it's a joke, but it's not. It's very hurtful and disrespectful the way that he is acting. And I think that comes back on us as his parents to really monitor him playing Fortnite, but you know, we don't want to feel like we have to take it away from him, but yet at the same time, I really think that we should. I would like your input on that.
Don't want to, but I think I should. How many times as parents do we get in that dilemma? I don't want to, but I think I should. Yeah, you had some comments left on the line for Lisa as well. Let's start with Victoria from Georgia.
Yes, Dr. Randy. My name is Victoria, and I am from the state of Georgia. And in pertaining to today's episode about technology and devices and how it interfere with relationships, I always let my son know, he's 13 years old, and I always let him know, son, devices are never will be as important as people. People are so much more valuable than an electronic. And I show that by example. If he has a question for me or if he wants mommy love at the time, my son's very affectionate. you know, I do a lot of research on my computer or my cell phone, and I will put it down and not just sit in my lap, but I will actually put it away and let him know. I show by example, you are more important than a device. In return, I get the same from him. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay, good. Thank you, Victoria. Tammy wanted to weigh in as well from Michigan.
Hello, my name is Tammy. I'm calling from Michigan. And one thing that we're doing with our son, our 14-year-old son, is that we put restrictions on his time online. And we also have a software that we monitor everything that he's looking at so that we can just see where he's going and what he's doing and how he's communicating with others online.
You know, a lot of other comments, but I think you get the gist that if you have a son or daughter and they're getting pretty addicted to this online activity, their video games, come on, parents, we need to step up. We talk about having a parenting backbone, parenting up and powering down. And today, when we're in this era right now, where there's been a seismic shift with content available to our young people, we're developing the digital natives now, the young children being born today and growing up. This is just what they're how they're going to be living their lives. I'm concerned about it because we see that there's, even now they're looking at how do they put legislation in place to protect things that are going online. It's kind of a Wild West experience for many families out there. And so now more than ever, parents, if you've got the little ones, you got to model it. You need to train them. Technology can be a great asset. It can be a great encouragement. It can be a great tool. And frankly, it's going to be a reality of the future. As we see more technology getting into our cars, into communication, into content. But let's remember that our goal as parenting is to raise a responsible adult. And we want to help them manage the technology, not be run by their technology. Technology is an asset, not the boss. All right, that does it. Love to have you weigh in on some of our discussion today. We enjoy hearing every comment on our comment line. 888-888-1717. Well, most comments on our comment line we appreciate. Let's just be real honest, right? Not all of them. But we do appreciate you taking time to share with us. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate what you're doing over there. He's our senior producer. Stephen Davis, thank you, Stephen, for your work. Sally, thank you for helping process calls and get them on the air here. I'm Randy Carlson for our entire team from Intentional Living, those of us here in the studio, those on the second floor that take calls and answer your mail and receive your gifts. We all thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. If you want to hear any part of this program again, it's on demand at theintentionallife.com. See you next time.